It's December the 1st, and I'm starting to hurt, 'cause I can't get a date for New Year's.
20 years later, the neatest sound of the 50s from the neatest guys of the 50s come back to life in a spectacular new album.
Who made the eggs, salad sandwiches?
50 of the neatest hits from 5 of the neatest guys. Yes, it's the 5 neat guys' neatest hits. Remember, let's have a party in my rec room.
Let's have a party in my rec room.
And on the same album,
I won't date just any girl around, 'cause Patsy has the largest breasts in town.
Yes, Patsy has the largest breasts in town. You'll also hear, should I kiss her goodnight? My mom framed my high school diploma. Slow dance anyone, and she does it.
Does it? She does it. The whole town says she does it.
You'll also hear, my dad's car, let's have a party in my rec room. Who put the pennies in my loafers? And I'm the goof in the classroom. Songs from 5 of the world's neatest guys. It's K-Tel's 5 Neat Guys Neatest Hits.
5 bucks pulled my tie from my collar, so don't step on my clip-on tie.
It's 5 Neat Guys Neatest Hits.
Just step around that clip-on tie.
Record $8.95, tape or cassette $15.95.
Rest in peace, Joe Flaherty.
Quiet, we're on the air.
This is a Kitty Pod production. The Keep It To Yourself podcast is recorded on the ancestral lands of both the Mohawk and Mohican tribes.
Hi, boys and girls. I'm Jimmy Carl Black. I'm the Indian of the group.
The Keep It To Yourself podcast is produced and recorded by a real-life human being for other real-life human beings. Though I hope one of these days we can replace this host with ChatGPT.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Hey, man!
Welcome to episode number 208, and also the 8th season, in quotation marks, of the Keep It To Yourself podcast. The most above average podcast ever to hit your ear holes.
Oh, my goodness gracious!
My name, of course, and as always, is Jason Bullitt, your humble host for all this time.
The regulator, innovator, dominator, creator, a theta, pussy, imitator, assassinator, baby.
I demand the hour, the member of the power.
Woo! Too sweet to be sour, Jack.
I'm your friend.
That's right, it's me, Smokey Bear.
I feel good, because I know there's a God somewhere.
Gosh, what a neat guy.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Hang on, baby Jesus, this is going to get bumpy.
And I'm coming to you once again from the rolling hills of Saratoga County, New York, as we approach the end of April 2024. Sorry it took me so long to get back into the swing of things here, but I've had a lot happen to me in the last month or so. I'll get into all that coming up in just a few moments or however long it is. I was going to have the heckler come in here, but I just couldn't think of anything to say. Well, that's your problem there, fucko. Ah, jeez. So he pulled one out of his ass. Right out the gate. Okay, we're back on track here after what just happened. Let's get to the social media quickly before we really get ourselves in a jam. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Keep It To Yourself Podcast. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/KITYS podcast. I don't know why I came up with that one. There's also the world's loneliest email, KITYpod@gmail.com. So you have that. All right. With that, we'll quickly get into the life of one J. Michael Bullitt and what he's been up to in the last however long it's been. Well, sir, we're going to start at the very beginning, and by that I mean the end of March, Easter weekend. Now, for those of you who are new listeners who've joined us in the past year or so, number one, welcome. Number two, namaste. And number three, strap in. I work for this company whose headquarters are based in Canada, specifically suburban Montreal on the east bank of the St. Lawrence River. Not that it means anything. but it does have some bearing to this part of the story. One of the perks is we get Good Friday off. So 4-day work week to, you know, just, that's it, really. A 4-day week, really nothing to say about, but you get an extra day off your Good Friday. Pretty religious country, Canada. Well, part of the British Commonwealth. Would I have expected anything less from them? But anyway, it was a good day to go to the allergist. Now, I have to explain this, too. My dad and his fiance have been noticing that I've been suffering from some kind of an allergy. One of the symptoms was having to wipe my nose at the dinner table. You know, use a napkin that I put out. And then just wiping my nose because I was starting to get a runny nose or rhinitis whenever I was at table. Well, I said, all right, we're going to get like a little preliminary thing going here. So I go to this allergist on the morning of Good Friday, you know, get checked in. I have to wait a little while, but they call me in. And I go into this examination room, and the allergist goes in, takes this little probe, and said, all right there, Mr. Bullitt, we're going to take this little instrument here, whatever that is, and we're going to examine into your nose and go right to the top of your throat. I'm like, all right. And, oh boy, it was amazing. I'll tell you, I really felt it. Good thing I had a tissue in there. Also gave me some nasal spray, too, and even prescribed some. I wound up having to go to the pharmacy to get one. So it was a busy Good Friday, sandwiched all that in between grocery shopping and all that. And I went, like, well, I have Friday off, why not? The kids did too. They also had the following week off for spring break. But let us not get ahead of my story. We're going to go right to the Saturday, and I decided to spend part of the day with my dad and his fiance, the two aforementioned people. But there was a little twist here. This was going to be like a family day of sorts. And it was a very special one, too. My dad was staying with his partner and spending Good Friday with him. So I had the house to myself pretty much the whole day on Good Friday. I think they left on Thursday, but that's just me. So I go to North Ames, Massachusetts. I depart the rolling hills of Saratoga County and eventually make my way to the Berkshires of Massachusetts. But on the way to the house, I decided to stop at my Uncle Al and Aunt Betsy's, make their way up their slight incline of a driveway, and there was a little surprise for me. I had a nice little welcoming committee at the top of the stairs, and it was my first cousin once removed. He was home for college that weekend. He'll be graduating in about a few weeks. So we had a nice little chat in the living room, just sat around, didn't have the TV on or anything. Heck, I didn't even have my phone in front of me. It was just the four of us shooting the you-know-what. Did that for about an hour, 15 minutes, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take off. I'm going to get going. So I said, all right, I'm going over to my dad's fiance's place. I probably made a few stops in between, went downtown to North Adams, see what the scene was, digging all that. I didn't really go into my two big spots now, the Berkshire Emporium or Bear B Books. I just said, the heck with it. I don't know why I wasted the gas and whatnot. So I just went to Nancy's house. That's Dad's fiance. Hung out for a little bit, had lunch. And then Nancy said, we're going over to my daughter's and we're going to spend some part of the afternoon there. Now, the highlight of this day or evening or long day's journey and tonight, if you want to call it such, was a dinner at this seafood restaurant. We'll get to that shortly. So I'm hanging out. You know, there's Nancy's daughter, her husband, their two daughters, Nancy's two granddaughters, I should say, or two of them anyhow. Were you getting on with a story? All right, come on, man. So, don't be the turd in the punch bowl, or punch in the turd bowl. Whoops. Yikes. All right. Well, we're going to get right to the story here, back into it. I amaze myself, don't I? Anyway, back to this. We are at my dad's daughter's house, and all of a sudden, his son comes over, and, you know, he brings his wife, and he brings some of his kinfolk over, and all 15 of us, yes, 15 people, Jerry. all of us drive in separate cars, because why not, to this seafood restaurant in North Adams. And I want to give him the shout-out. I say not a sponsor, but I want to give him the shout-out in the DAP. Boston Seafoods. It is a wonderful place. Nice restaurant. A hidden gem in the Northern Berkshires. Tucked away in this little shopping center. And as true as fashion as you can have, my dad and his fiancée were literally the first to arrive. I came in about a good few minutes later. And then the rest of the brood show up. And all 15 of us commandeered what was kind of the back room of this restaurant, or at least a banquet area for a state occasion when you don't want to host that many people at your house. Now, this is familiar setting for me, because I remember 10 years ago almost, that was where we had the funeral reception for my grandma, for Dorothy Bullitt. May she rest in peace. May 8th marks the 10th anniversary of funeral, and Cinco de Mayo will mark the 10th anniversary of her passing. So there's that. And oddly enough, this supper came on the 7th anniversary of the passing of my dear mother, Lois Bullitt. Didn't mention that to anybody at any time during the day's proceedings. I felt like it wasn't necessary, or I just couldn't be bothered to do anything like that. So in the run-up to going out to this little feast here, my dad's sister and her husband arrived. They hang out for a little bit. The female half of this couple had recently undergone knee surgery. Unfortunately, she was unable to join us, and ditto her husband, because sitting around for long periods of time would have been murder on her knee, or so she put it. Well, that was the intent. That's what I thought she said. But anyway, so we're at the restaurant, had a great time. She recommended, that would be Nancy's sister, pronouns pal, welcome back Vince. She recommended this meal called the Fish Filet Reuben. Now, you all are familiar with a Reuben sandwich. It's corned beef or pastrami if you so wish. I think a Rachel's when you put turkey in there. I'm not too certain. I've never had that sandwich too many times in my life. But you get all the topping. You'll get the sauerkraut, Thousand Island dressing. I'm not calling it Russian dressing or Putin sauce. Putin sauce, maybe. Or a Thousand Island dressing. That really comes in good. Well, I had the fish filet, had some French fries. Well, I actually had sweet potato fries. And let me tell you, oh man, it hit the spot. I'm glad that Nancy's sister recommended that to me, because, whoo boy, I was full up real good. I'm lucky I was able to walk back to the car without being too logy, and they make the drive home in similar condition. So in any event, get home about 8:30 at night, or 8:15 somewhere. A few minutes later, Dad and Nancy make their way home, and then it was Easter Sunday. Hallelujah, he is risen. He is truly risen. Now, if you listened to my Easter recap last year, I was in North Adams for an overnighter. Not this year. We were here at Bullitt House in the rolling hills of Saratoga County, New York, from whence I come to you today, or whenever it is I'm recording this. So it was just hanging around a little bit. Really couldn't do much of anything. And we had the rest of the family, my sister, her husband, and my nephew, all three came over to the house about 5 o'clock, had some ham. And it was real good with the brown sugar glaze. Yeah, had some scalloped potatoes. Oh, man. It was so long ago, or it seems like I just can't recall with my usual recall what we had. Then there were some desserts that were brought over. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this. On the Saturday, I brought over some treats. Now, I've really gotten into making desserts now. I've been starting to cook for myself. I have been for the last few years. Really got going while my dad was in the hospital. So what happened was, on the day in question, Your Honor, well, we got to go back to the day before. I decided to forego going to my sister and husband's house for supper because, well, I was going to see him on Sunday. Why waste it? Why spoil it? So I decided I was going to bake this thing called Hello Dolly cookies. Now, when I was in college, these were called magic bars. And I found this recipe online for how to make these things. And it was kind of an unusual source. I was watching this YouTube video from this television station in Seattle when they were celebrating their 75th anniversary of broadcasting. And somebody had sent in on the social medias that there was this paper from 1972, a sheet of paper had all these recipes from a long-forgotten daytime talk show, or a lifestyle show, as it would be called nowadays. And what really drew me to this was what was in the middle of that sheet, and they said those were called Hello Dolly cookies. Well, I called them magic bars way back when. So I said, well, I'm going to cook this for only the third time. And it came out real well. So instead of using spray butter, they said melt it in the pan. Well, it's 2024. I'm going to do the modern thing is I'm going to take some of that butter, take like a tablespoon of it, and just melt it in the microwave. Now, I use the soften melt function on the microwave. It doesn't come out as well, so I just punch it in for another 30 seconds and comes out nice and liquid. It looks like drawn butter, like you're going to have lobster at that seafood restaurant in North Adams or any seafood place anywhere. But back to the lecture at hand yet again, I pour it in the bottom of the pan. I take what has to be about, take 3 sheets of graham crackers. There's a little cooking segment here, a audio-visual cooking segment, more the former than the latter. So I put them in the sheets of graham crackers, put them in this freezer bag. That way I can fit them all in. Take a rolling pin and just crush them up into almost a fine powder. You need that base for the crust, you know. And also to make sure I didn't make a mess with anything else that was on the island, I put a cutting board underneath so I can gain some semblance of friction. That way I wouldn't make a mess and that bag wouldn't go flying around. All right, so graham cracker crust right in the bottom of the Pyrex, get everything all loose and conversational. And then the pièce de résistance. We start putting in the ingredients. You take half a package of chocolate chips, milk or dark chocolate, don't matter. Then half a package of butterscotch chips. And then you take about 1 cup of coconut flakes or shredded coconut. And then, well, I went a little different here. The recipe I had called for chopped walnuts. We didn't have any, but I still had some chopped pecans, or pecans, if you will. And I put a cup of those on top. Preheat the oven, 350 degrees. Cook those bad boys for half an hour. Then pot them out. You know, pull them out of the oven when it was all done. Let it cool off a little bit. Now, you got to be careful. When you're cooking brownies or whatever it is I've been flapping my gums about for the last however long it's been. What you got to do is make sure they're not rock hard when you finally cut them up. Just take a knife there, just cut everything in squares, and then get a spatula and take everything I put on a plate, serve it to your guests. Or what I did was I had 2 paper plates, put as many of them in those plates as I could, and decided, well, I'm going to make 2 batches or split it up into 2 batches. One's going to my Uncle Alan and Aunt Betsy's. The other I'm going to bring with me to Dad and Nancy's, which ultimately made the trip to her daughter's house. And I will say that for both parties involved, I got nothing but high marks for my efforts, which really made me feel good. Made me a happy bunny on Easter weekend 2024, let me tell you. So there was that. I did not give any to my sister, brother-in-law, or nephew. My brother-in-law does not like coconuts, so I did the honorable thing and just left them out of the equation out of respect. He's also had some heart problems, so that would have complicated things in the cardiac department. Well, despite all that, and maybe because of all that, we had ourselves a high old time during the Easter weekend. So there's that. Well, back to the allergist for just a second. I had to go in to get these little skin tests performed on me just recently. So I asked my boss, and with his blessing and permission, I was able to work earlier than I should. That means I started work at 6 o'clock in the morning. I kid you not. 6 o'clock in the morning, I was up long before the roosters, and that meant at 2:30 I was going to log off, so I had to forego my break at 2 p.m., Then somewhere around 3, I wind up getting in the car, and I drive back to the allergist, get me in there. Got to wait a little while. I think the appointment was around 3:30, 4, somewhere around there. But anyway, it's late in the afternoon, and they get me in the exam room yet again. The allergist says, all right, we're going to give you some kind of a thing there. We're going to get you prepped. And while they were getting the results, they were going to show me this YouTube video. I didn't know they had a YouTube channel. And by the way, sometime later, I wound up liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel. So it tells me what a patient I am, I'll tell you. So what happened was they mark off parts of my left and right arms. And they're just doing the little things there. They take a whole two at a time. They just poke around different parts of my arms. It didn't hurt one bit. I've been used to needles for a good part of my life. So it just doesn't really... you don't really grit your teeth or scream in pain if it goes right in there. It also doesn't go deep into your skin like I was getting a flu or COVID vaccine or anything of that nature. So it crunched the number. The allergist is there, runs the test, does the thing there, and she says, all right, well, here's the deal. You don't have allergies when it comes to pollen or anything on the tree. I'm like, well, I like being outside, especially when the weather's warm. So, thank God for that. But what she told me really had me in a real jolt. I mean, it really gave me quite a shock, internally at least. They said, well, what you're consuming your body, or part of it anyway, that's what's giving you trouble. So, you tell them what kind of symptom you have, like runny nose. I mentioned that just moments ago. And this, that, and the other. They said, well, your biggest allergen has to be yeast. So, like yeast with, bread and whatnot. So I kind of a mold. I told Nancy that, like, yeast isn't mold. I'm like, you bring that up with the allergist when you go in there for your follow-up next week, which why we'll do. I'll give you the skinny on all that in the next episode. So that was the upshot of the whole deal. I thought I was going to have to give up bread. And true to form, the next morning I wound up having a bagel for breakfast. No sooner I get upstairs, I'm sneezing my little nernies off. So I think that should be, like, that's a sign. There it is. All right, well, I mentioned allergies. Oh, yeah, one more little thing before we move on. We had this matter of a solar eclipse just a couple of weeks ago. Now, I did not ask what the policy was going to be if, we wanted to see the eclipse, because the path of totality was going to go right over Montreal. We saw, like, Cleveland, and start out in Texas, go through the Midwest. Cleveland would again be in the path of totality. Northern New York and into Burlington, Vermont, they were really getting ginned up for this whole deal, up in the Adirondacks, up in the Champlain Valley, because they were going to be right in the path of totality, especially Montreal. Here in the Rolling Hills, less so. I think we got like 96% totality. So it wasn't going to be a complete show of darkness with the moon going between the earth and the sun. But I looked out the corner of my eye while I was still working. I could see it get dark. I just looked out my window. Now, I honored the occasion and only I could. I found out earlier that day that a radio station was going to play Pink Floyd's album Dark Side of the Moon from 1973. Their most well-known work, in my opinion. And they were going to play the album all the way through. No interruptions, no commercials. They were just going to play it from beginning to end. So I figured, well, this would be the right time. So when you get to near the end of the album, you can have the effect of the totality will have happened by the time you get to the end of the album. So a nice long buildup. Well, I start about 2:45 Eastern time. I have Apple Music, so I wound up downloading the whole album. I used the 50th anniversary remastered album from last year, starting with the first track, went right on through. And by the time I hit the instrumental track called Any Color You Like, that's when darkness descended on the Rolling Hills. And I wish I'd have been out there with, some kind of pairs of glasses or pin projector or paper plates or anything to capture this moment. Because it was quite a show by all accounts, man. Especially if you were up in the path of totality. Burlington, Vermont, Cleveland, Buffalo, New York, all those places. And if you're listening, hope you enjoyed the show as much as as much as I did, because seeing those news reports that night, oh man, it was quite a spectacle. Once in a lifetime, too. I think it's the last time in about 20-plus years we're going to see anything like this for a solar eclipse here in this part of North America. So it was a unique way to honor the eclipse, playing Pink Floyd. I know it's the same thing you do with the watching The Wizard of Oz, but this was a astronomical event, if ever there was any, one that's really been at the hype train going for a good long while. So he said, stumbling over his words, that's the vanity portion. It was a long one, so I'm going to give you a bit of a breather before we go on to the next. Oh, before we go, I forgot to mention this while I was recording. About 2 weeks ago or thereabouts, we had ourselves a little earthquake about 3 days before the eclipse. It wasn't anything devastating, thank goodness. But close to 10:30 on the morning of the 5th of April, I was working upstairs at Bullet House. Dad and Nancy were down here in the living room of same. And all of a sudden, I feel something shaking. I mean, I knew something was going on. I could see the little computer screen I have shaking as the earth was trembling. Thankfully, there was no damage. We didn't lose electricity. The grid didn't go down. But for a few minutes there, it was rather unnerving, to be honest with you. Thankfully, we all survived. Was all everybody would talk about that day. Really took the eclipse off the front page for a hot minute. All right, now on to whatever this is.
Mom pressed the grease in my chinos, 'cause chinos I like to look neat.
Now for a limited time only, the neatest guys of the 50s bring you their neatest million sellers of the 50s in a spectacular new album, 5 Geek Guides Gold.
On my seat. Should we double date with Stan and Wendy? Should we double date with Sid and Sue?
Yes, should we double date with Stan and Wendy? And on the same fabulous album,
I scream. You scream. We scream. We all scream for ice cream. Hey, ice cream.
Yes, 5 Neat Guys Gold. The neatest million sellers from the neatest guys with the neatest music from the neatest era. You'll hear. Mom pressed the crease in my chinos. Don't mess with B-Pump. My dad's car. Slow dance.
We all scream. It's slow dance or no dance for me.
Or who can forget?
Come on and put some extra relish on my hot dog. It's Sunday.
Soon to be a collector's item, you'll want your record library. Remember, I got a hickey.
I got a hickey on my shoulder.
It's 5 Neat Guys Gold, new from Kentel.
I didn't sleep a wink all night.
Record only $9.99, tape or cassette $6.99.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
That music can only mean one thing, friends and neighbors. You've made your way into Jason's Sports Corner. Now, as always, at the top of the segment, I recognize sports is in everyone's bag, so feel free to scrub forward if you're in that category right there. You almost said another word. Anyway, it's a great time to be a sports fan, the month of April. We've just had the NHL playoffs begin, the NBA playoffs begin. I watched some of those this past weekend. You know, Major League Baseball, we're wrapping up the first month of the season, if you can believe that. And we're already done with college basketball. Congratulations to anybody living in Connecticut or have ties with the University of Connecticut. The Huskies are your champions again, back to back in the belly to belly. We'll talk about that guy later. And also the women's game, I watched that game. That was in Albany, man. That was one of the highest viewed games of all time for women's basketball, and it happened right in our backyard. Boy, howdy, weren't we lucky. Iowa and LSU, Caitlin Clark made it to the final. Unfortunately, South Carolina, not to be denied. They are undefeated. Your 2024 women's champions in college basketball. And now Caitlin Clark turning pro going into the WNBA. So we're going to try and make something of herself there. I found out that her starting salary is going to be just a hair above $300,000, which is pretty ignominious if you ask me. Victor Wembanyama, when he got drafted last year, he commanded a higher salary than a woman. So we've made progress with women's sports in this country, basketball, soccer, this, that, and the other. But by the same token, I think we still have some more progress as far as compensation. I mean, the U.S. women's national team is getting paid same as their male counterparts now. So there's that. Well, you also have the Yankees, too, man. They're off to a hot start, despite Aaron Judge. He's had his troubles at the plate. In fact, the day they honored John Sterling, more on him shortly, I promise. He went 0-for-4 and struck out every time he was at bat. That's called in the baseball parlance the Golden Sombrero. And worse yet, the Yankees lost in extra innings that day, 2-0. I was following the game while I was out on the town for Record Store Day up in Saratoga. I'll tell you all about that in the next episode. So there is that. Saw some, like I said, the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Oh, the Masters. I almost forgot. Scottie Scheffler. Speaking of going back to back, we had ourselves a repeat champion at Augusta. I thought guys like Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, I thought they'd be the ones to upset the apple cart, but Amen Corner lived up to its billing. It was true to form, and the Texan got his second consecutive green jacket. Well, actually, he got the one back, I heard. There was a whole story behind the origin of the green jacket and all the tradition that surround it. All that. So, I heard the Sklar brothers, they say, well, with this rivalry between PGA and you have the Saudi-backed LIV Tour, you know, you want to try to get some of those people in the tent because the way things are going. Scottie Scheffler is a winner. You know, he won again this past weekend at this golf class. Well, actually, it's going on right now because there are some weather delays or darkness or I don't know what. But they are going to determine the champion of that tournament later today as I record this. Not the quick turnaround for this episode, taking a little peek behind the scenes. But anywho's, it's... So we have golf, a whole bunch of sporting events here. But I want to talk about John Sterling, go back to baseball a little bit here. John Sterling, longtime voice of the New York Yankees, recently announced his retirement. By the way, 85 years old. Whew. Man, he lasted this long working. He'll finally get to enjoy his retirement, hopefully. I don't know how much a long one he's going to have, but you're probably thinking, all right, health issues. I already mentioned he's mid-80s with his age, so he's up there. He's got a lot of wear on the tires. Got a lot more than I do at my age, I'll tell you. But he announced on the 15th of April that he was calling it quits. He broadcast at one time over 5,600 consecutive games on radio for the New York Yankees. And he was there for all of Derek Jeter's career, which includes 5 World Series championships, including that dynasty in the late 90s into the year 2000. So a lot of ups and downs for the Yankees. A lot of great, a lot of mediocre. John's seen it all, man. And I'm going to miss hearing him on the radio. He and Susan Waldman were great. Now, John Sterling comes in for a good deal of criticism as a play-by-play man. You know, him and Susan, those two in some circles are insufferable. I quite enjoyed them, to be honest with you. Okay, I'm being biased because I'm a Yankees fan, but what the hey? I remember first heard John Sterling when he was with Michael Kay, and those two would take turns calling the game in the booth on radio. So that was amazing. Really got me into the Yankees. So, John Sterling, a great career. Hats off to you. Enjoy retirement. He said that, you know, he liked the game, but preparing for him was starting to get to be a grind if it hadn't already. And that, thankfully, is the end of Jason Sports Corner. You're welcome, America. All right, folks. Somehow we've made it to the end of the episode, but before we leave, got some pod shout-outs got to take care of here. First up, GFA Live, Peter Winston and Keith Langston, live watching episode of WWF Saturday Night's Main Event that aired on NBC on July 29th, 1989. You can follow Pete and his podcast at GF Allentown Pod on Twitter, and check out his YouTube channel, too. Even though I don't think he's posted anything in a while. The 24-inch podcast, the return of Steve Bennett, Dave Rollins, and Steve's daughter Paula. They took a deep dive into Hulk Hogan's involvement in WrestleMania 7. This is where it was held indoors at the LA Sports Arena. It's supposed to be at the Coliseum, 93,000 people, but they had the storyline going with, you know, Sergeant Slaughter defected to the Iraqis with the late, great Iron Sheik. Using heel turn inspired by then-current events, the Gulf War and everything. That should be an interesting listen. You can follow Steve and his podcast. Well, you can follow this one in particular at 24_inch_pod on Twitter. Or X, if you want to call it that. And Instagram at 24inchpodcast. And follow Steve on Twitter at sports_casters. And on Instagram at thesportscasters. Laura Little's podcast, Chuck and Roxy, welcomed Wynn Mossman and a man who was identified as Tony L. I don't know what that meant, but there you go. You can follow Chuck and Roxy on Twitter at Loyal Littles Pod and on Instagram at the Loyal Littles Podcast. Finally, 1-36, the Anderson Center for Autism, their centennial year in 2024. Eliza Bezinski talked to Drs. Raquel Rozdolski and Susan DeCenso. Hopefully I didn't mess any of these names up. From the Touro College of Dental Medicine, that was a great interview that they did about being on the spectrum and having to go to the dentist and what they're doing to remedy those things. You can follow the Anderson Center on Twitter at Anderson Autism and on Instagram at Anderson Autism. And also every Friday, the Blind Lawrence Show, or Lawrence Ross Show, I should say. Sorry, bud. You can follow him across all your social medias at Blind Lawrence. As for this little dog and pony show, we're available on Apple Podcasts. I don't know if the Google Podcast is going to exist anymore by the time this drops. But you're also available on Spotify and a handful of other podcasters. Do you truly a favor? You can support the show by giving yours truly a 5-star rating and a good write-up. There's also the buymeacoffee.com/keepittoyourselfpodcast so you can support yours truly financially. I figure it's time to start making some money off this bad boy. So give what you can, folks. And that will do it for episode 208 of the Keep It To Yourself podcast. I thank you as ever for listening. This is going to drop on April 29th, which makes this the 7th anniversary that the Keep It To Yourself podcast first went into people's ear holes and made it onto pod feeds throughout the circular globe. As I stated at the top, this was the start of our 8th season. Well, I call April 29th, that's the new year for me as far as this podcast goes. But anyway, I've said enough. Or too much. I should just stop talking. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. I'll talk to you next time, whenever that may be. And as always, and above all else, wait for it. Keep smiling. Otis lives.
Now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.